Now, the number of cyclists injured on our roads is significantly higher than Garda figures might suggest. There were 4,790 cyclists admitted to hospital between 2014 and 2022, according to hospital records. But figures from An Garda Síochána show 1,932 cyclists were recorded as seriously injured over the same time period. There are multiple reasons for this discrepancy, but the European Commission has asked member states to report hospital figures instead, as police data often understates the true level of serious injuries among cyclists. In a moment, we'll speak to Sarah O'Connor from the Road Safety Authority, which has conducted research into this. But first, we'll hear from cyclist Sean Davey, who was involved in a collision last June. He begins by outlining what happened and the injuries he suffered.
I was cycling on the north side of Sligo town. There's a small roundabout in a place called Ash Lane. I was cycling through the roundabout, and just as I was exiting the roundabout, a car came from my left-hand side and just hit me straight on the left-hand side and just sent me flying. So I suffered kind of injuries to my left hip, mostly soft tissue stuff, ligaments, torn muscles, Achilles tendon, but I landed on my right-hand side, so I got an impact on my right hip as well. So then I had to wait for an ambulance to come, and I was brought to the hospital. I was kept overnight only. They put me on a painkilling drip and strapped up my right arm. I broke a bone in my right hand and sprained my wrist. And then I got out the next day, and it took me probably 6 weeks to recover to the point where I could cycle again. And even now, in the last month, I had an MRI scan on my right hip because it's still sore. But the results were pretty good. So it's really probably just a case of time.
You're somebody who could be described as an avid cyclist. You've been cycling for many, many years.
Yes, yeah. So I would be commuting by bicycle for about 20 years. I'm a member of a local cycling club. Actually, that morning, that roundabout I go through probably 400 times a year. But that morning was actually a Sunday, and I was actually out with the cycling club. So yeah, it was a little unusual to get knocked off when you're with the group. It was the middle of the day, and you know, visibility was obviously very good. The driver just wasn't looking and didn't see me.
This research, it shows a discrepancy in terms of cycling injuries and the data collected by hospitals versus the data collected by An Garda Síochána. In your case, Gardaí would have been notified, however, of your injury. Would that be correct?
Yeah, absolutely. A motorcycle Garda was on the scene very quickly. It seemed to be, you know, exceptionally fast. It only seemed to be moments before I realised there was a Garda beside me. And very professional, very friendly, took my details while I was still on the ground. Contacted my wife just to let her know what happened. Followed up a few weeks later to get a statement off me after I was recovered.
Does it knock your confidence, a collision like that?
Initially, initially. But I think I've been cycling for so many years, and bearing in mind this is the first time in 20 years that I've been hospitalised, it is a rare enough event, happily. So it didn't take me too long to get back into it. I think I'm more careful. I'm more inclined now to use the available infrastructure that's there that I mightn't have been before. There's a roundabout close to home that has a cycle path, which brings us in a slightly out of the way route around the roundabout. I wouldn't have taken it before, but I take it now.
And that was cyclist Sean Davey recalling the collision he was involved in last June. We're joined in studio now by Sarah O'Connor from the Road Safety Authority. And thanks for joining us, Sarah. As we mentioned earlier, the RSA's research has shown that between 2014 and 2022, there were 4,790 cyclists hospitalised. But according to An Garda Síochána, there were 1,932 serious injuries during that period. Why is there a discrepancy in the figures?
I suppose there's two main ways that you could look at this, two really identifiable gaps in terms of what we're seeing. So where we're looking at cyclists 2.5 times more, let's say, who would be seen at hospital level than in terms of the Gardaí's numbers. One of those two is where people are involved in a single vehicle collision, i.e. that the cyclist would have a collision on the roads themselves. That could be as a result of meeting a particular road surface, loss of control of the bike, collision with the curb or footpath, or avoiding another vehicle. And in that instance, in the vast majority of cases, people may not call the guards. They may call the ambulance, they may seek healthcare, or they may realise later in the day that actually their injuries are quite serious. And so it won't feature in the guards' records because they haven't reported it. Or alternatively, it can be the case that people are involved in a multi-vehicle collision. And when the guards are recording it at the time, the person feels okay. And as the hours emerge afterwards, they may feel very unwell. So, for example, somebody could have internal injuries, they could have internal bleeding, and it's not clear immediately in terms of how the Gardaí log the collision that that's actually a factor.
Does it raise a question, Sarah O'Connor, around what other road injury figures might be misunderstood? For example, injuries related to car collisions.
Well, for us, this is the first portion of work that we've taken on under this particular project. It's recognised as a phenomenon internationally. So 19 other countries alongside ourselves are doing this kind of reporting and additional analysis to really dig into the numbers to understand more. The cycling piece was the one where the greatest gap was identified. So we prioritised that and we've done this deep dive into cycling first off the bat. Pedestrians is going to be the piece we investigate next, and after that, drivers. But we don't see as large a discrepancy in terms of the figures for either of those two groups.
The discrepancy, though, it's not just happening in Ireland, it's happening in other European countries.
Absolutely.
As well. And
it's
the European Commission has requested for hospital data now to be reported, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So that's what this project is based all about. It's looking at what's called the hype data, i.e. the information that is generated when people go into the hospital, when they're in care, and when the clinician sees them and does reporting. There's two or three additional layers that we can look to in the future, for example, looking at the National Trauma Care Centre and their reporting in. The project is done in conjunction with Trinity College and with the HSE, and it's all part of that best practice push internationally for us to make sure that we're not only looking at what comes through the Garda numbers, that we're also having the bigger picture and that we're allowing that to feed through either to what we're doing in terms of policy or to feed into what we need to do in terms of campaigns.
Another statistic that stood out from the research, child injury data in relation to cycling, it's also significantly different. Hospital figures 6 times higher than Garda figures.
That's correct, and I suppose when you look at that piece about single vehicle collisions, a younger person who may be learning how to cycle or who may be inexperienced in cycling, if they experience something on the roads, you know, mum or dad or the guardian's immediate reaction is obviously going to be to bring them to healthcare to make sure that they get looked after. If it's a single vehicle collision, they're not worried about the Garda route, they're worried about the healthcare route, and that's probably what's reflective in what we're seeing there. But what we do see is that there are two particular groups who do need healthcare after they may experience a single vehicle collision, older people and younger people, and that's, I suppose, largely to do with the vulnerability of the body. And that's, I suppose, two routes that kind of instinctively make a little bit of sense when you think about what may happen to a cyclist if they're from either of those two age cohorts.
We're all being encouraged to cycle more. But in terms of making cycling safer, Sean Davey in that clip mentioned the importance of cycling infrastructure.
Correct.
Does that need to improve, or are you more concerned about driver behaviour or perhaps cycling behaviour?
Look, there's no one answer in this puzzle that's going to be the immediate fix. Cycling infrastructure is really important, and I know that organisations like TII and the local authorities are really committed to increasing the number of segregated roads. That not only makes our roads safer for cyclists, but actually makes our roads safer for all other road users. There's something about the delineation of engineering that makes all of us drive more carefully when we realise the parameters where we're meant to be driving and we follow those carefully. But it isn't only about infrastructure and about engineering, it's also about driver behaviour. We, tomorrow, in fact, are kicking off a full month of a TV-led campaign using a professional cyclist, Imogen, as our, I suppose, our spokesperson, talking about Imogen's experience of being a person on the bike. Her experience was she was hit while she was cycling in Spain as a professional cyclist. And she is talking all about the need to slow down and to give extra space to cyclists. It's a really important campaign, and that's a really key factor in how we manage cycling safety going forward.
All right, we'll leave it there. Sarah O'Connor from the Road Safety Authority, thank you for joining us.